It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Happy Top Chef premiere day to all who celebrate. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and to mark the premiere of Top Chef Carolinas tonight on Bravo, we have an interview with the host of the show, Kristen Kish, who also won Top Chef back in 2013. Of course, Kristen was also on this most recent season of The Traitors, which just wrapped, so she has really been on a roll. And it was really exciting to get to sit down with her in person during such a sort of high-octane time for her career. And when it's on, obviously, there's no bigger show than The Traitors. And Top Chef, of course, still has, you know, a very loyal, big, and passionate audience, but it's a little bit more specific. And so The Traitors was just like a different level of exposure for Kristen, who I just really enjoy watching on television in general. And she was just as cool and present during my time with her in person as kind of I would expect her to be. But I think getting a little bit of a peek into, you know, what it's like for somebody to be like, you know, in the spotlight in such a big way as part of The Traitors, I think is always really interesting. And to have 1 week in between The Traitors and Top Chef is also a really unique experience for her. So obviously, most of my interviews for the podcast are virtual. So this one might sound a little bit different or might have a little bit more of a different dynamic. But in person really does, to me, make a difference in terms of like the level at which you can connect with a guest, particularly a, you know, celebrity guest. And it's certainly on the vision board for Gabbing with Gib to do more of this in the future. So hopefully at some point down the line this year, you know, we can do these more in an actual studio. In this case, we had to use my sort of on-the-fly setup backstage at a green room at 30 Rock before another media appearance that Kristen was doing last week. So, but anyway, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kristen. Tune into the Top Chef Carolina's premiere on Bravo tonight, which actually, as I mentioned on Friday, you can already stream the episode on Peacock. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back tomorrow with our usual Tuesday discussion episode. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Kristen Kish, Emmy-nominated host of Top Chef. Now you're an alum of The Traitors.
Yeah.
It's a big couple weeks for you.
Yes.
Thanks for being here. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. On the record, I really enjoyed your commentary.
Thank you.
Throughout The Traitors and all the memes that you did, because I found them to be lighthearted, as they should be.
Yeah. And we were just saying, it got pretty intense this season, but there's always bright spots to be found and always like humor to be found in it. And I'm glad. I also thought that you did a really good job of being on social media and kind of playing into that in a way, but also not taking it too seriously.
I can't take it seriously. We're there for a make-believe game. So I was serious in playing the game, but like I didn't take it with me outside the castle.
But you're a competitive person.
I am competitive, but I realize that being competitive in a make-believe game that has nothing to do with my actual professional skill set, I wasn't as competitive as opposed to if, you know, I were to compete on Top Chef again.
Right, right. And it's also, this is probably a new experience for you where you are going straight from one really big juggernaut show into another one with 1 week in between.
Yes.
That's a new experience, right?
It is a new experience, but I can't say, I mean, listen, I'm I am smart, no matter what the fans say.
And again, as I always say all season, if you watch Top Chef, you know that Kristen Kish knows what she's talking about.
And so I knew when I filmed The Traitors, the longer I stayed on, the closer it would get to the premiere of Top Chef when it all came out.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I'm not dumb. I know what I'm doing.
But the timing is like kind of crazy though. I mean, and you also got really far on the show. So,
yes. I think the timing was crazy because I finished filming The Traitors and 6 weeks later I was filming Top Chef.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a mind spin that was.
Yeah, honestly. So Kristen, I was like, was this Kristen? And it was. I was at Sundance back in 2018.
Uh-huh.
And you did something with Chase Sapphire with like a donut truck or something. I interviewed like on the side of the road. I worked at AOL at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, I was like, we've crossed paths before. Like, not that I would expect you to remember, but like at that time, you had already been a winner for 5 years at that point. You won Top Chef in like, what, 2013 or so?
Yep.
And at that point, you were doing some guest judging, some hosting, you'd written a cookbook. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, like, if you think back to sort of that time in your career versus now when you have this like really solid, steady hosting gig with Top Chef, like, what did this do for your career to get this incredible position?
Oh my God. I mean, it opened me up to so many other opportunities.
Yeah.
It's like all these like spider arms. And I think that's the best part of saying yes to even things like The Traitors.
Yeah.
Even considering, you know, saying yes to Top Chef hosting, like these choices aren't in my natural being to say yes to.
Yeah.
Like I chose a profession in which I was in a kitchen largely because I didn't have to talk to people. And I got to like live in my own little bubble. And then television happened, Top Chef happened, Traitors happened. And I realized every single time I've said yes, it has opened another door, several other doors. And, you know, if that's the beauty of life is being able to experience things that you had never, ever thought of experiencing before, like, I'm going to say yes to all these things.
Yeah. And obviously that era of Top Chef, like, was still very personality forward. And like, that was very much a part of the competition. But it's interesting hearing you say that you got into cooking to not have it.
My plan was never to be on television.
Right.
Like the fact that it's even something like that people associate me with is crazy still.
But like, was there a point when you realized that, was it after that first season when you won that it was like, oh, people really like, they obviously like my food and my cooking, but they like me for me as well?
Yes. I mean, after Top Chef, like I did not declare my gayness prior to Top Chef. And it, like, I did that. I came out and like the amount of people that just like came and swarmed me, I recognized the impact of what it means to represent people, other communities on television. And I think that was like my first real brush of what it means for representation just in general.
Absolutely.
Being your full self and what that can do for other people around you.
100%. When you think back to that time when you won the show and now to hosting the Carolinas season this year, what are some of the bigger changes that have happened to the show as a viewer?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a pretty steady show. It feels like there have been like little tweaks and things that have happened. Obviously, we have a new host, but like it feels like the same show to me in a lot of ways. But are there things that have changed that maybe you perceive that the viewer might not perceive or that happened behind the scenes that you think have helped it?
I mean, I think the challenges have become more of the time, less trickery and more like you are meant, this isn't meant to be easy. You're not supposed to have everything that you could possibly have to make good food.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of working in this industry and being a chef is adapting to your environments and your surroundings. We do it every single time. We even are a guest chef in somebody else's kitchen. You got to figure it out. I've worked in kitchens with like one pot, one pan, and barely a working flame. And like you figure it out. So these are skill sets that naturally have to be pulled upon. And they are meant to challenge you in a way that encourages growth, which you will never be the same coming out of Top Chef. And I mean that in so many great ways. We have a new director this year.
Okay.
I think that's incredible. We have this brilliant woman, Anna. And I think that is really exciting. Small little things
I feel
you might notice.
I presumed so, but just like, because I pay so much attention to shows like The Traitors and Housewives and things like that. So Top Chef for me is like a casual show that I like to watch. So it's cool to hear that there have been little changes made like that.
Of course. I mean, it's of the like evolving with the time.
Yes.
It's very important. So the show
very
might
much
not change because at the heartbeat of the show is talented professional chefs doing what they do best.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, things we keep up. We move along.
So one of the changes, I guess, from a previous season, I guess you reminded us in the premiere that the quick fire challenges no longer get you immunity. It's now a cash thing. And then the other thing that we hear about in this premiere is that Last Chance Kitchen, the first two people out, are not going to be part of that.
Yeah.
And as somebody who came back into the competition through Last Chance Kitchen, I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, because, you know, it's still going to exist. So it's not like it's people don't have that second chance, but that's tweaked as well.
Yeah. I think what it does is it adds another layer of pressure. Like the first two out, you don't get another chance. So like you have to do your damnedest to make it through those first two. Mm-hmm. Because once you're out, I mean, you're out. Like it is what it is.
So, I guess it makes sense for the first two though, because it's
the first two.
Yeah.
But those are like those first two are like the ones where you're really trying to get your footing in this competition. You know, I think that the no immunity thing and earning cash, I mean, listen, I was once that chef that left my job without pay and went on this television show. And for an opportunity every episode to win money, like you're trying your hardest. Some people are like, well, it doesn't add enough, you know, something to like, and I said, no. If you're a chef and you came to this show, you are doing everything you can for money.
I mean, if I could win a little challenge and get $10,000.
Yes.
Please.
I remember getting $10,000 for cooking mushrooms. I was like, what is this world?
Last question about sort of your winning season is, I was thinking about it. I was just reminding myself of that season. It's crazy that you and Brooke Williamson were the two top two.
Yeah.
And you are two, to me, of the most prominent alumni of Top Chef. Mm. I don't know. It's just so funny how these certain seasons produce like true stars, in my opinion. And mm-hmm. Do you guys keep in contact? Like, that's a special moment to have.
Yeah. We do keep in touch. I mean, ever since our season, we were forever bonded.
Yeah.
I go back to this all the time. Her and I have spoken about it many times. But when I got eliminated on season 10, she left because you have to go pack your stuff up as an eliminated chef. And that was at the time when everyone's living under the same roof. So mm-hmm. It's very, very different mm-hmm. now. But I went and I packed up my suitcase and there was a handwritten note from Brooke. And I think we got each other and we supported each other. And so to cook against her in the finale was really special. Our friendship had continued on from that point.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm so happy for her, even though she's on a different network. I am so thrilled for her professional career and
it's
her
been
happiness.
Amazing to watch that blow up.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This season, I feel like, of Top Chef has really clever casting. And we have two brothers. We have a couple. It's not often you get pairs on this show. There are some memorable ones from the past. But I feel like that, and again, Top Chef has always had sort of the interpersonal appeal and whatever. But this feels like another level of that. And I feel like that's a pretty smart thing for the show to do, especially on a network like Bravo, where, you know, personal lives and connections are so integral to like the viewer's attachment to people. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on having two pairs of people in the cast this year?
I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, the two most prominent pair, I think, on Top Chef were the brothers,
of course,
Voltaggio brothers, mm-hmm. Which I was not a part of that season.
Right.
So I'm happy to see two brothers go head to head, identical twins of, you know, of all of it. I can't imagine what it must feel like, though, for a couple.
I know.
But you're also kind of like, well, do you share the same bank account? So, like, you're kind of like, okay, and rooting.
I don't remember.
They've been together for 16 years.
Okay, right.
So, I mean,
right. So they're essentially,
But no, I mean, it's interesting. It was interesting to see it all play out. And see where, like, you know, especially the brothers, they definitely are competitive.
Oh, yeah.
Each other.
I would presume so.
Yeah, they're competing with each
other. And they both
other.
Do well in this premiere, too,
they
in
do.
The first challenge. Mm-hmm. So on the Traitors Reunion, you've alluded to sort of the difference between, like, the Housewives world on Bravo and the Top Chef world on Bravo. And I've always sort of thought about it as, like, there's the Housewives and Summer House and all that. And then there's sort of like Top Chef, Project Runway, Million Dollar Listing, sort of that type of show. But now it's just Top Chef sort of that's carrying that torch. And I'm so happy that you guys are still carrying that torch. But how do you think of that as the host of the show and how you sort of slot in at the network?
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
How we slot it, I don't know. But all I know is, you know, I think that Bravo is such a very strong brand. Like someone was explaining it to me yesterday. It was like people say, oh, I'm going to turn on Bravo. Mm-hmm. Not, I'm going to turn on a specific show sometimes. It's like, no, the Bravo universe. And so I'm happy that we're a part of it. We are the Emmy nominated golden child of Bravo, I think.
You said it.
We are. Yeah. It's such a different show. Like people are changing their professional careers first and foremost. And it is a competition based on a skill set, which is cooking. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the other shows aren't focused on professional aspects of people's lives, but like this is a competition show. It's like apples and oranges.
I just think it still has that Bravo wink though. You know, I think that the casting is a big part of that. Yeah. I think you and Tom and Gail are a big part of that as well. Mm-hmm. Survivor 50 just kicked off another network, but there's been a lot of talk sort of in the press around that season of Jeff Probst, and like at a certain point he took on a way bigger role with that show as executive producer. Okay. And he sort of like he drives a lot more of like the creative and the casting and kind of that stuff. Is that something that you would you ever want to step into like an even bigger role at Top Chef and drive some of that, or do you already do some of that? Like
I mean, we have open conversations.
Yeah.
as a whole production, like, you know, the producers are in the television world. Tom, Gail, me, we're in the food world.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the questions will be asked is like, is this challenge too crazy or does this make sense in a culinary aspect? So mm-hmm. like we're part of those conversations. There does become this limit where like you can't step so far up because it is a competition and we are judging it.
Yeah.
So like you can't blur that line because Top Chef has remained such an important, trusted show, especially in the culinary world, that if that line starts to blur, then it starts to edge and feel more like TV production. We are culinary people at our core. You take us outside of television, we're still doing the same job.
Mm, that's a good point. And that also reminded me of like you saying that it still carries a lot of weight, Top Chef mm-hmm. does. There are other competition shows that has been proven not to be the case mm-hmm. where it sort of holds people back. Mm-hmm. For Top Chef, that's still... It's still like a bona fide to like be like, well, I was on the show, I did well.
Yeah, and also for think about the viewers and the people out there. Like we are all diners; we all go out to eat. How many restaurants across the country and beyond can you be like, oh gosh, I was just in Chicago and I went to 4 Top Chef alums restaurants.
Yeah,
because it translates back into the real world for viewers mm-hmm. Who might, you know, not be in the food world, but like they have an opportunity to go see these people. Everyone is part of the food world because we all have to eat.
That's true. That is true. In the premiere, you have this amazing moment where one of the contestants doesn't finish plating, seems to have a panic attack essentially, and you guys can see it from your table. You go and ask her what's wrong, and I feel like you handled that moment so well. And it's not something that every host of a reality competition show would necessarily do, mm-hmm. connecting on like a human to human level outside of the game. I guess talk to me about that moment a little bit, and like also as a host, how you toe that line of like being there for a contestant, but also like we're judging you and we're making decisions about your fate in the game.
You know, we were sitting at the table and I was the only person to see them, to like have a vantage point of watching them come out of the kitchen. And I saw like they all kind of stopped. And then I saw Nana and I was like, okay. She's either going to drop her plates and mm-hmm. fall to her knees. Like something is going to be terrible. And I was like, at the end of the day, the food's already done.
Yeah.
I did not tell her how to cook, or I didn't help her how to plate, like help her plate. Like my job in that moment was to make sure she could get to our table, period, full stop, TV or not TV. And so for me, the greatest thing was I'm so glad I saw it mm-hmm. in that moment. Like there was no asking for permission. I got up and I saw her because I said, we have to do something. And that conversation with her and me lasted maybe 5 minutes. Like I was doing breathing exercises with her because she was having a full-on panic attack. And I was like, I don't want her experience to come down to this moment where she can't stand in front of us and look us in the eyes and deliver her food. So I will do whatever I have to do to make sure she can get to that spot.
Mm-hmm. And how do you make sure that maybe those more personal moments or, you know, just you guys probably get to know each other during production, like how, not affect?
We don't. We don't. The only time we see them is when they're
in
front of us.
Wow.
No, can't, like we are kept
totally separate.
And in that moment, me helping her did not make me feel like I couldn't give her honest critique. I still said you were my least favorite dish because it was. Ultimately, it comes down to the food.
Absolutely.
I can be there for you personally, but I'm still going
to
be honest
about it. And that's the best way to be. To round it out here, a couple of traders questions. Yeah. The past day, there's been this a lot of buzz around this Vulture article. Have you seen this?
No.
The headline is like, traders should ban housewives because they make it too... I mean, the argument was that like they don't understand that it's a game and they take it too far sort of personally.
Okay.
A lot of mention of like Candace Arena and the social media of it all. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, I don't do casting.
Yep.
All I can say is my experience in the castle with the housewives, I fully enjoyed. I mean, I think saying to ban an entire group of people is a wild concept. I didn't read the article, so I'm sure there's nuance in
different things. There is.
But I mean, I'm not in casting, so not my problem.
Good answer. I think there's also sort of this idea, because there was a lot of social media activity. We discussed, we alluded to that. Do you think that like in a future season, if you were making those decisions, would you suggest people like more constraints around talking about the show on social media if you were on the show? Because just for an example, I could tell that Rob voted Candace out just from like what was being posted on social media.
Oh,
like
could
it,
you?
It felt like it was sort of implied, sort of, that there's a lot of bad blood, you know, and you can pick up what people are putting down. Not from what you posted, just in general.
I mean, I was just talking about sweat on my sweatshirt.
No, I'm not talking about what you. No, definitely not you. I'm just saying, you know, people are very observant.
Sure. I think with the hype and so many people who are such passionate fans of the traders, you know, I think the last thing you want to do is spoil anything. So if it's alluding or, you know, spoiling and has the potential to, then maybe think about what you're saying, because the success of the show is the fans watching the show. So you can't give anything away.
And I'm a very spoiler averse person.
Yeah.
I don't like to be spoiled. I think you had one of the most memorable social media posts though about around the season, which is when you said that you pointed out that a kiss could not have been the kiss of death, if you will, at the banquet.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it was.
I mean, it ended up being the right person.
Totally.
It ended up being Lisa. But guys, how many hours did we spend on HR training? No one is asking anybody to kiss anybody, period. So like there is a level of logic, even though my conclusion about Lisa not being like, whatever, she ended up being the traitor. But bring in some logic.
And you said this out loud to people?
I said it to Candace.
Yeah.
We were at the round table and everyone's going on and on about the kiss. And I was like, Candace, I just said it kind of under my breath. Yeah. I said, it's not the kiss. And she goes, how do you know?
Oh.
And I was like, well, now I know she's a traitor. And so she's trying to figure it out. But
I see.
I was like, because we went through HR training, Candace. Mm-hmm. And she was like.
What was your reaction to watching the finale? Because you had gotten eliminated. It really built up to this amazing kind of theater moment between Maura and Rob.
I mean, I felt for Maura in my core.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a game.
Yes.
So people are going to lose. But like, I saw her face of hope when she actually thought they were going to win together. And then you saw it completely just drain out of her. And I was like, like, I knew what happened, obviously. But watching her face, like, I felt for her. Because like, take away the context in the moment of that game. We've all had that moment of hope, and then it just goes away. Like, we know what that feels like, even if you've never been in this particular situation before.
And hers was in 4K.
She looked great,
she
though.
She did. Oh, beyond.
She just looked so good all the time. I'm like, teach me how to do makeup and wear a wig.
No, because, she smashed it. Serving looks. I mean, you were serving some great looks,
too,
the whole season. The reunion, was there anything that you felt went unaddressed or that you felt that didn't make the final cut that you would have liked from your perspective?
From my perspective, only speaking about what I wanted to say and things that were my business, no.
Okay.
I said what I needed to say. Like, I was good. I didn't need to, I don't need to have conversations
that you weren't part
that
of.
That I'm not part of. That's just not how how I roll.
And then, again, we talked about sort of just the intensity. Is there anything that is a misconception about the show or how it works? Or
traitors?
Yeah. That you think that people go with and run with that is just not the case?
You know, I think that something to keep in mind is that we're filming for 16 plus hours a day. And there is a lot of time of getting to know you and spending time with each other. And ultimately, it gets cut down into an edit that is the game. But there are so many things that inform how you play the game that aren't always shown.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, for instance, again, speaking of my own experience, people kept calling me dumb because I wasn't clocking onto.
She's not dumb.
I'm like, you are not in the castle. You don't know. There's so much stuff happening.
We're seeing an edit as well.
You're seeing an edit of the game. But there's a lot of personal friendships and conversations that are being formed within the game, too. That sometimes for people like me who are not professional gamers or players in this kind of reality television, that you're trying to sort out all these different feelings. And it's hard. It is very difficult.
Yeah. Well, I hope you feel like you...
I think, you know what I should do?
What should you do?
For the civilian one that airs, maybe I'm going to start a burner account and just go to town. I'm like, now how does it feel?
What would the username be? It'd be like... I don't know.
I'm going to think about it. I have some time to
Top
think
faithful.
About it.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Well, Top Chef premieres Monday. The premiere is actually already available on Peacock for people to watch. It's going to be a great season. I can feel it, right? Like it's a good one.
We open like the entire first episode. If you're a Top Chef, you know, avid watchers, usually we open the show in the Top Chef kitchen. Mm-hmm. We open on NASCAR on one of the hottest days of the year with zooming cars. And we don't even see the kitchen the very first episode. So we're like, we start big.
You do.
Yeah. Stay out of the studio for
finish your dish before the cars finish their laps.
Yeah.
That's a new
one. I mean, it's good. And like at the end of the day, we're cheering for 15 amazing chefs to do a good job.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, Christian, I appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
Really great to connect with you.
Yeah,
and
I'm
excited for everyone to see the premiere.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Can't wait for your memes.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.